Welcome to the ISF podcast from the Information Security Forum, featuring timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert. Today is the fourth and final episode in our four-part series, focusing on the ISF's latest report, Threat Horizon 2024, The Disintegration of Trust. Today, Steve and I discuss the final theme of the report, Dirty Data Disrupts Business. And Steve, I have to say kudos to your team because the phrase dirty data is just visceral for me. So it really gets the point across. Well done.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's but, you know, what we see happening is that as more and more enterprises become data driven, they're going to become increasingly dependent on the integrity and quality of multiple sources of data, both privately and publicly owned, but will lack the capability to assure its quality in real time. And attackers will take advantage of that situation, manipulating those data repositories to cause operational mistakes, undermine internal planning and execution, and indeed increase business disruption.
Let's start with the first prediction the report makes, that attackers will poison the data well.
Yeah, threat actors will certainly shift their attention towards illicit data manipulation as more traditional attacks on availability and confidentiality are subverted by increased investments in people and technology following the ransomware epidemic. Adversaries' actions will become harder to detect, compromising the accuracy and credibility of the information and puncturing the integrity of the data that organizations leverage to drive their businesses forward.
I would imagine that as volumes of data created and consumed by organizations only increase, those organizations are going to need to take steps to assure that the quality of data is always fully understood and that the business has accountability for inherent risks associated with poor data quality. What specific steps do you recommend?
For now, certainly businesses should start by enumerating mission-critical information assets. Where are they? Who has access? How are they protected?
Protecting the crown jewels.
Exactly.
Coming back to that always relevant theme.
We are. And we suggest that organizations review external sources of data to determine their inherent levels of quality assurance. And they also need to review existing controls that assure integrity, particularly around those mission-critical data sets. Looking a little bit further ahead, we recommend businesses prepare, implement, and actively maintain an organizational playbook for responding to detected instances of data poisoning. They need to expand offensive security testing to cover machine learning platforms. This should cover infrastructure, applications, and the data inputs and outputs themselves. They can also look at implementing pan-organizational platforms with built-in capabilities for data governance, data stewardship, as they include measures for troubleshooting and monitoring all aspects of data management, including data integrity.
Moving on to the next threat the report identifies, misleading signals subvert cyber fusion centers. So I admit, and we all know, that I come to this conversation from a lay perspective. So could you explain to me what a cyber fusion center is?
Sure. Cyber defense systems need to become more responsive to internal vulnerabilities and adapt to external threats as attack methods evolve more quickly. Cyber fusion centers are designed to facilitate collaboration and communication between teams engaging in related functions like cybersecurity, IT operations, in order to reduce risk and improve the organization's overall security posture. So the Cyber Fusion Center is the hub for actionable threat intelligence. Structurally, it pulls together information and coordinates efforts across security teams, SOC, IT, physical security, fraud, and so on. It also integrates multiple automation tools, collecting data from internal and external sources, curating data, and providing actionable intelligence to stakeholders to make informed decisions. Now, we believe that attackers will exploit the increased influence that cyber fusion centers have over normal business operations by using misinformation and misdirection techniques to cause security teams to chase and react to false events and intelligence data, inadvertently disrupting the businesses they're actually there to protect. And that will cause the autonomy model of the fusion center to be challenged by business leaders at what is a critical stage of its development and adoption.
Thank you for that definition. I've learned so much from this podcast over the years, so appreciate that context. Let's then talk solutions.
what does the ISF recommend businesses do to fend off that threat?
Well, as the Cyber Fusion Center evolves, particular attention should be paid to the integrity of the data and intelligence inputs. There should be regular scrutiny of the levels to which their automation systems can freely operate across the business versus their potential to cause operational disruption. So for now, we recommend that organizations understand all intelligence inputs and identify methods of assuring them. They need to baseline the accuracy of existing automated security operations tooling and agree how to maintain it. And they should ensure override procedures are in place in the event of automation system malfunction or loss of integrity in any individual data feed. Looking a bit longer term, then organizations should look at setting thresholds for automation that don't conflict with safety and reliability requirements. We also recommend that they categorize, develop, and rehearse response plans for a sudden data integrity issue in the Cyber Fusion Center. Companies can implement data sanitization techniques to further assure the integrity of telemetry and intelligence feeding the Cyber Fusion Center. They should also establish measures that enable the business and technology teams to collaboratively optimize the Cyber Fusion Center's accuracy and efficiency.
So we come to the final threat the report anticipates. Digital twins double the attack surface, so not double the fun, I take it?
No, far from it.
So like Cyber Fusion Center, digital twins is also a new term for me, and I know that our listeners may know what it is, but would you take a moment to just define that?
A digital twin is a virtual representation of an object or system that spans its life cycle, is updated from real-time data, and uses simulation, machine learning, and reasoning to help decision making. Now, plainly, that just means creating a highly complex virtual model that is the exact counterpart, or twin, of a physical thing. Now, that thing could be a car, it could be a building, could be a bridge, could be a jet engine, anything. Connected sensors on the physical asset collect data that can be mapped onto the virtual model. Anyone looking at the digital twin can now see crucial information about how the physical thing is doing out there in the real world. So the challenges of keeping digital twins secure will become apparent as attackers are attracted to what will become an increasingly broad attack surface. Their efforts will be assisted by poor defense in depth, internal network issues, and inherent weaknesses in IoT hardware. And this will cause prolonged manufacturing and supply chain downtime through a broad range of attack techniques, including data subversion.
It sounds like digital twins represent a commercial advantage for many organizations, but they also present information security practitioners with significant monitoring and management tasks. So what does the ISF recommend organizations do to manage that workload?
Well, familiarity with these innovations and their connections to the wider enterprise will help lighten the load of monitoring and managing them, undoubtedly. Right now, we're encouraging businesses to draw up and maintain an asset register of ICS, OT, and IoT systems. They should also be building relationships with suppliers of digital twins to assess their security stance. Furthermore, we suggest they look for vulnerabilities in the software linkages between digital twins and real-world counterparts. They can also segment their networks to keep operational systems separate and implement verification and validation processes. Further along, businesses need to look to improve relationships between OT and IT teams to build trust in digital twins and to help resolve security issues. They need to track operational and information risks against industrial control systems. And then finally, we suggest that they set up and run a rapid response system overseeing interaction between digital twins and their counterparts.
Thank you very much for this series. This is the conclusion of our discussion on the Threat Horizon 2024 report, The Disintegration of Trust. And as always, I really appreciate that throughout these four discussions, you've offered so many practical solutions and so much actionable guidance. Of course, these recommendations are also written up in the report, but this podcast series offers another way for listeners to learn. So glad to have you in conversation as ever. So, listeners, you can find the full Threat Horizon Report 2024, The Disintegration of Trust, at securityforum.org. And we'll put a link to it in the show notes as well, along with links to our Threat Horizon Report podcast episodes from previous years, and the report on protecting the crown jewels that we referenced earlier in this episode. We're taking a break next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new season of timely, informative conversations. In the meantime, as always, we ask that you take 10 seconds to pull up this podcast on whatever device you're listening and give us a 5-star rating. And if you have time, write a short review. That helps other listeners who might enjoy our content find us. And if there's a question or a topic that you'd like us to cover in a future episode, let us know at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find our catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert, with music by Alexander Filipiak, senior producer Katie Flood, mix and master by Brian Barney. Thanks for listening.